Welcome back to our Esquire Q&A podcast, where every week we bring a new and interesting person in our Esquire Q&A studio to talk directly to you. This week we have Aamir Khan. Now, the man needs no introduction. The boxer has already compiled an arguably Hall of Fame worthy career, and he's the first big ticket fight to ever take place in Saudi Arabia. He is in the studio today to talk to us about his good friend Anthony Joshua, what he thinks about the upcoming fight against Andy Ruiz, what fighting in Saudi Arabia was actually like, and his hopes for 2020. Well, we're joined in the studio with a very special guest today, Mr. Aamir Khan.
Hi, how are you? You're all right.
Thank you so much for joining Esquire in the special Esquire Q&A podcast.
Great to be here.
You're always in Dubai, aren't you?
It's my second home. I spend a lot of time over here and I have a lot of friends in Dubai. So I love coming here and enjoying myself.
Yeah, it's a really nice city too. The last time you came, you were actually here with family and friends. And coincidentally, you and I were on the same flight back from Manchester
to
Dubai. That's
right, yeah. I remember when we messaged one another to say that we were on the same flight. And it's just a small world, isn't it? I mean, everyone ends up in Dubai for some reason. At that time, I was coming back for an event, which was...
The Arabian Business Awards,
The Arabian Business Awards, exactly. Yeah. So I was here for that and... So yeah, I mean, but Dubai's always been fun, honestly. I've had so much fun here, made a lot of good friends and good contacts. And whenever I come here, I do get looked after well.
Yeah. You were recently in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Now, you were the first, you know, main card boxing match to ever take place in Saudi Arabia.
That's right, yeah. So when we announced that we were fighting in Saudi Arabia, everyone was like, oh, what is this? This is going to be a joke. Because they've never, ever held a boxing event there. So we made sure that we were going to do it the proper way. We were going to make sure that it was going to be better than anything that we've done before. Luckily, the funding was there for us from the government of Saudi Arabia. And we had to make sure then we had to get the right undercard fighters. We had to get the right lighting and the arena. And my team were on ground probably 10 weeks before the fight. Just to make sure everything was going fine. Because, you know, when a country has never done a boxing show there before, you don't know what to expect. And people don't know what to expect. And the fans don't know what to expect. So you are really, you're in a very difficult position. But luckily, we pulled it off. It was the first fight in Saudi Arabia that's ever happened there. So, and it went really, really well. So I think now we are looking in the future, maybe fighting there once again. But now there's other big fights happening there as well. So I've opened the door to all the big other fights. But it is an amazing, it's a different experience, I can say, because when I fought, when I fight in Vegas or in London or New York, you have a different kind of fan base and different kind of people turn up for the fight. But in Saudi, it was totally different to that, where everyone was quiet and very reserved. So we had to add a little bit of entertainment to it. So we added musicians, which has never happened in boxing before.
And in Saudi.
And in Saudi as well, exactly, because music normally is not allowed. So what we did was we invited Tiger from America and also Rick Ross, and they did like a mini concert before the fight just to get everyone lively, and it was a success.
And of course, in a way, it was your, you know, comeback fight as well against
Correct.
Billy Dib, and you won.
Yeah.
You know, were you happy with the result at the end of the day?
Yeah, I mean, look... I trained hard for the fight and I just made sure that I wanted to get the rounds under my belt and just get that ring rust. It was some time since I last fought. So I wanted to get that ring rust off and get back in the groove again, you know, get back on winning ways. So for me, it was just ideal. It's just what I needed after a very difficult fight. So yeah, we're perfect.
And do you have another fight lined up yet or are you still sort of waiting?
We are in talks with a few promoters at the moment. I want to fight around March or April next year. So I'm looking at some options and some opponents. Whoever's out there, look, there's so many people calling me out. For example, there's Manny Pacquiao calling my name out. There's another boxer in the UK called Kell Brook that's calling my name out. And then, you know, you'll have a few here and there that want to fight you. So I've got my options open, really, wherever the best deal is. Look, boxing is a business now. I've won what I wanted to win from the sport, winning world titles, European titles. I've won literally everything I wanted to. And now I think you look at it as a business point of view, which is going to secure you and your family in the future. So whatever makes sense, business-wise.
But you're also looking at it from a retirement point of view, because you've publicly said that you want only two or three more fights before you retire,
yes,
right?
Correct,
so
yeah.
is that what you're keeping in mind when you look at who to pick next?
Exactly. Yeah, and you have to be very smart who you pick. There's a lot of these young fighters who want to prove a point. Or you can fight these experienced fighters, or you can fight a world champion. So, like I said, I've got my options open. I can just pick and choose what I want to do. But I keep saying that I'm going to fight. I remember the first time I ever said when I was going to retire was when I said I'm going to be 28 when I retire. Obviously, I'm 32 now. So it's crazy how time flies. And look, I've said to you that maybe after two or three fights, I'm going to retire. But you never know. Maybe after two or three fights, I might feel at my best again and say, look, no, I want to maybe have another two or three more fights. So is boxing one of them sports? Look, I can wake up one morning and think, I never want to fight again. I'm done from the sport, you know, because I've been doing it all day and every day and for a very long time. Since I was the age of 8, I started. So I'm just going to let my body tell me when to call it a day, really. I know, but I think two, three fights sounds about right.
And we've spoken about this in the past, but, you know, some of our listeners may not really know. How did you start boxing?
So I started boxing. Now, this is a lot of people are going to find this a little bit strange. I was very hyperactive when I was younger, very naughty, always fighting in school, always misbehaving. So my dad took me to a boxing club, which was literally about a mile away from the house, maybe 1 kilometer, so maybe a little bit further. And we went there. Now, any parent would think, why is Amir's father taking him to a boxing club? Because that's only going to make him fight more. But no, he did the opposite to me. I mean, it disciplined me so much. It made me focused and made me not mess around or not fight outside. Because what boxing teaches you is not to throw a punch outside the ring. Only in the ring you're allowed to throw a punch. And that kind of helped me to behave. We started to get phone calls from school saying, what have you done different at home? Because Amir's behavior has totally changed. And it was all because of boxing.
And then from there, you went on to the Olympics.
That's
then, you know, your career progressed.
So then from there, I started fighting in the national championships. I started winning the national titles and stuff. And then I went to the Junior Olympics. I was about 16 at the time. Never in my life would have thought I would have gone to the main Olympics at the age of 17. Because I always had my goal on the Olympics after. So I went to the Junior Olympics, won the gold medal, and somebody said to me, are you going to be going to the real Olympics? I said, no, I'm too young. He goes, no, you're not. He goes, you're going to be exactly the right age. You just make the limit. Now I go, what's the limit? Because I was told it was 18. He goes, no, it's 17. And I was 17 at the time. And that's when I came back to the UK, forced my way. I said to the England team and the committee that, look, I want to go to Olympics. He said, you're just a boy and you'll get hurt by these men. And they were literally men. And so I said, listen, put me in with your best fighter that you're going to send to the Olympics. But before you get sent to the Olympics, you have to qualify. Who are you going to send to the qualifiers? Let me spar with him and you can see who the best is between us both. So let me spar with him. And I destroyed him. And then that's where they thought, okay, fine, we will have to send you, because if you are the best in the country, then we have to send. And I was only 17. I was a young boy. But it was, like now, if I compare myself to when I was 17, I'm a lot stronger now, even though I might be very similar weight. But it was just that man strength. I didn't have that man strength. And I remember when I was fighting one guy who was about 25 years old, and I must have been about 17. I remember throwing punches at him, and nothing was hurting him. But every time he hit me, it hurt me. And I would feel it, and I'd be like, oh, well, you know, he's quite strong, and his pressure was always there. So it made me realize, look, I can't outbox these. I can't outstrength these people. I have to outbox them by being smart. And that's what I did. And then I got qualified for the Olympics and won the world championships and then turned professional.
And the rest is history,
The rest is history, man. And sometimes I look back and think, wow, like, I've done so much, you know. It's been a roller coaster, a lot of ups and downs. Won fights, lost fights. And I've learned more the most things off the losses, because when you lose a fight, you go back to a drawing board. See, you always go back to a drawing board and think, what did I do wrong in that fight? What did I do? Did I train hard? Did I miss any days in training? Did I not do this? Did I not swim? Did I not do my diet? Right? And you kind of, you know, get everything back together again and make sure you don't make those mistakes and you become a better fighter. Whereas when you win a fight, you never look at your mistakes. So I'm glad I've had these setbacks.
And you know, when you do lose, how do you get back into the mentally into the state of things, being like, okay, you know, even though I've lost, I can like sort of get yeah. back in the ring again.
Yeah, mentally it is very difficult because you're gonna have two sets of fans. Some that gonna always hate on you and say, "Oh, you deserve it. You're not gonna come back again." And if you read it, if you read them, you know, it is gonna put you down and it's gonna probably dishearten you. You might never want to fight again. But then I've got another set of fans who are so supportive and so like behind me, like, "Oh, you can come back stronger. Look, this has happened to the best of us, from like the likes of Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, and this is just a loss. You'll come back from this. Champions are made from when they come back from a loss." And so that kind of motivated me. You know, when you have your fans who, because obviously you sometimes don't think at the box, being a fighter, you think, "I've lost a fight. Oh, I've lost my deals now. I've lost everything. Now, what do I do now? Oh, shall I just call it a day? Or can I do that? Do I still have it in me?" So I have to thank my fans for that, because they definitely did motivate me.
Yeah. But now you're in Dubai, firstly for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix later this week.
That's right.
And then you're heading to Saudi Arabia to watch the Anthony Joshua Andy Ruiz fight.
That's right, yeah. So I've been invited by the Abu Dhabi government to be at the attendance at the F1. And then from there, I'll be flying on the 3rd to Saudi Arabia for the AJ fight. So Andy Joshua is a friend and we know one another. It's such a big fight that's going to happen in Saudi Arabia, because obviously when the first one happened, this is a rematch between him and Ruiz. Now, no one ever expected Ruiz to beat him. I mean, you look at the two and you think, like, come on, you know, you got someone with a six pack and then you got someone who's just round. And I just think that, I mean, you can't really say Anthony Joshua took him lightly, because he's a professional sportsman. As a professional sportsman, you don't really take anyone lightly. And I just think he just had the style to beat Anthony Joshua. He just, you know, knew what to do in the fight and knew how to break him down and took his best shots and then broke him down. So you have to give credit to Ruiz. Ruiz is a very skillful fighter. And in this rematch, you know, it's going to be hard to tell, because, you know, when you've suffered such a hard beating in the first fight, which Anthony Joshua suffered, it just makes it very hard, because how are you going to come back? What are you going to change to become a better fighter? When is your body going to be recovered? Is it not too quick? Now, I did an article in the UK saying that it might have been too quick for him to take the rematch. He should have maybe taken one or two fights, maybe got a few wins under his belt, got the confidence back, and then took the fight. But credit to him, he took it straight away, which many fighters wouldn't do. So he's taking that fight now. He's a big step. He is going to be nervous, but you know, he's got the skills to win the fight.
But do you think people underestimated Ruiz because of the way he looks? He's not traditionally definitely a heavyweight yeah. boxer. You know, you look at him, you don't think, okay, this guy can, you know, punch the lights.
You know,
maybe
what?
He could punch the lights out of me, but you don't think of him as a heavyweight boxing champion.
Of the world, yeah. So when I met him the first time, I was in the wildcard gym training with Freddie Roach. I was in the ring with Manny Pacquiao. We were both training together. I remember someone shouting at me and saying, "Hey, Amir, just say a wave at this boxer. His name's Andy." And I looked at the ring and he said, he's going to be world champion one day. Now, when I looked at the ring and I thought, is he having a laugh? Like, really, like, this guy's not in any shape. Like, it was more of a quick, "Oh, yeah, hi." Like, I showed my respects, but I thought to myself, like, why is the coach saying that? Because, I mean, the guy does not look in shape. He doesn't look like a fighter. So you can never underestimate anyone. That's one thing I've realized in life.
But he has lost weight now.
He has, yeah.
And he is looking more of a fighter now than he
correct.
Did in his first fight. Do you think that's going to change the way, you know, he moves? And
I think he'll be a little bit quicker. But at the same time, is he going to be better? Now, I think he can be a lot better than the first time. You know why? Because I read an article about him that he couldn't afford a strength conditioner before. He couldn't afford a dietitian before. He couldn't afford a nutritionist. Now he can afford those things. And that's only going to mean the best out of him. That's only going to make him a better fighter than he's ever been, because he's got the right team around him. He's got the right nutrients going into his body. So yeah, man, it's going to be...
Now, I know, you know, Anthony Joshua's a friend, but who do you think is going to win this one?
See, my heart says Anthony Joshua, but my head says Ruiz will win again because he's got that extra edge on him. He's already beaten him once and he literally destroyed him in that fight. And secondly, you know, he just seems so calm and confident, and he's in, you know, he's now able to afford a better training camp and a lot of better things for training.
But also so mentally, he's there. He's mentally
sure,
he
yeah.
thinks, you know, it was a big confidence boost to go from people, you know, ignoring him and laughing at him
yeah.
and at his dreams to now actually, you know.
And I might have been one of them. I might be one of them. When someone said to me, he's going to be a world champion, I laughed. So you have to, yeah, man. I mean, he's going to be, he's not, I'm sure he's not one of those fighters that he's just won it now. He made his one fight money and he's happy with his life. I'm sure he's want to chase more and more and become even better than he is and go for the bigger fights and, you know, achieve his dream. Not only have the one fight and win a world title, achieve what you can at the sport.
But what is all of this doing to Anthony Joshua's mind right yeah. now? You know, like he's coming back from not one loss, but he lost before as well. And now he's training and everyone's saying, you know, Tyson Fury has said, I will not fight Anthony Joshua if he loses again.
Yeah. You know, he's in a very difficult position because what's going to happen now is if he gets beat, then I think he goes right at the bottom of the list of all the big fights. He still will be a big name in boxing. And, but I just feel that, you know, he won't get them big fights with Fury. With Wilder, I think they'll then think he was never one of the top heavyweights. He was fed the easy opponents early, and then when he faced someone half decent, he got beat. Imagine what Wilder or Fury would do to him. And I've always said it's either of Wilder or Fury. They're the best heavyweights in the world, in my opinion. They are the best. Now, the fight that they had was very, very close. It could have gone either way. I'm a very close friend of Fury as well. So I always said they are the best heavyweights. But look, Joshua could pull off such a great fight next where he knocks out Ruiz in a couple of rounds, which can happen in the heavyweight division and come back on top again. So,
but yeah. You know, when you look at heavyweight boxing, do you think this is the most exciting time in a very long time
yeah,
for heavyweight boxing?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, look at yesterday's fight with Wilder and Ortiz.
Ortiz, yeah.
You know, that was an insane, you know, it was an okay fight up until the seventh round, and then seventh round knockout punches just floored him.
I can't believe how much you know about your boxing. You know so much about boxing. No, yeah, Ortiz fight, yeah. So I remember watching the first fight on that one, and that was exciting. And the second fight, Ortiz was beating him.
Yeah.
In this last fight on the yeah. weekend. So Ortiz was winning the fight and then he got caught with that one punch and oh my God, that punch probably would have knocked out anyone.
Yeah.
But
Ortiz is older though.
He's a lot older.
Yeah.
He's a lot older and that's going to, you know, pay toll. It's not going to be easy for him. Whereas Wilder is a young 28, 29 year old fighter. But at the same time, you know, this shows that there's not only Wilder, Fury. There's also Ruiz and what's he called again?
Ortiz.
He's still around as well.
Yeah.
Even they are dangerous in the heavyweight division. So we've not had a era like this for a very long time. Heavyweight boxing, no one used to talk about. They used to talk about more about the welterweights, the light welterweights. That's where the big money was. But now, slowly, slowly, it's coming back to the heavyweights where it really belongs, really, because people know boxing because of the heavyweights.
But do you think this was all because of the outcome of the Ruiz fight where it threw up the order that was and suddenly people are like, holy, like if the guy at the top
yeah.
can get beat by this nobody,
yeah, yeah.
then it opens up, you know, all the second tier, second, third, fourth, you know, people in the list yeah. are just like, you know what, I can be the top guy now.
Exactly.
And now they have more to sort of fight for.
That's right, because they get confident. And they feel like if he's done it, then why can't we do it? We just need that chance. So now fighters are now trying so hard to get that one chance. And when they get that one chance, they're going to make the most of it because they think that by winning, it'll change their life, which it did for Ruiz. Now, Ruiz was only making something like 40, 50,000 a fight. Now he's making millions, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to give him that respect. And I'm sure other boxers are seeing that as well. See, the heavyweight division, I think, is still up in the air. We don't know who the main champion is yet. Because we say Fury, we say Wilder, we say Joshua's still there, we say Ruiz. Who is the champion? Because there's so many great heavyweights now that we've not had for the last 10, 15 years, and now he's back on top again. So I'm very happy to be in this in boxing in this era now, yeah.
And I think Wilder, after his fight with Ortiz, said that, you know, while he is slated to fight Fury in February, March next year, the main fight is the one after that for the title leg. So whoever wins the Joshua-Ruiz fight and whoever wins the Wilder-Fury fight, yes, that's the fight to apparently watch next year.
Yeah, so you know what? It makes sense because you got two good fighters there and you got two on the other side fighting each other. So I think that could be, look, it could be like a little tournament between the four. The best fight the best. Even the losers fight the losers. To see who the third position fighter is. So I think it makes it like a little tournament. Yeah, I mean, that's the way a boxer should be, really. Yeah. Then days have gone where the best were fighting the best. And I think it's just nice to see that's happening now.
Yeah. And do you think, you know, Saudi's like tutored this fight as Clash of the Dunes. Do you think it'll be something to remember? You know, like Rumble in the Jungle. Like, is it going to become like a fight that people look back in the history of boxing and be like, you know what, that's
maybe, I think I can't see it beating the first one. The first fight they had definitely made everyone jump because everyone was like, wow, like he got beat, you know, off a guy which no one ever expected him to be. So the odds must have been, but this time I think it's going to be more like, I don't know, is it going to be big in Saudi? I mean, I think it should be, yeah, because there's going to be a lot of American TV behind this. There's going to be a lot of UK TV behind this. So I think it will be, but it just depends on the crowd. Really easy. See, I was quite lucky in that sense when I fought there because being a Muslim and being a Pakistani with a lot of Pakistanis living in Saudi Arabia, I had a chance to come and see me fight.
Yeah.
Now, how easy are the visas going to be for the Brits? How easy are the visas going to be for the Americans? So, you know, this is what this time will tell, really. We will know this the day after the fight.
I mean, Saudi has launched this, you know, new e-visa scheme.
That's right,
and they've done, you know, they've opened up to tourism. So correct. I think now it's just up to the organizational skills to make it happen, I guess. But would you fight in Saudi again?
Oh, definitely. Why not? Yeah, definitely. Look, it was just a great experience. I was looked after by the people. I was taken care of and everyone was like really friendly over there. And see, when I used to walk around on like Knightsbridge in London, I used to see a lot of Arabs there who used to be in London with their flashy cars. And I used to think they were quite arrogant and quite cocky. And stuck up at times. But you know what? I was totally wrong by when I met the Saudis in Saudi Arabia and the way they welcomed me and took care of me. I swear they're the nicest people I've met. Honestly, they really welcomed me. And I would love to go back over there to put another fight on and to give Saudi another big performance because they definitely won me over.
Yeah, so why haven't you fought in Dubai then? Because this is, you call it your second home. You say you want to fight here.
No,
you say, you know, you every time we talk, you want to fight in Dubai. So why hasn't it happened yet?
See, Dubai is a country a lot of people are trying to get a fight over here. And it's never happened because of maybe negotiations, TV. But look, I'm ready to fight wherever, really, because I've always been asked the question, would I fight in Dubai? Yes, I would love to fight in Dubai. It's a location and a destination I always visit. So fighting here could happen in the next, it can happen soon. But look, there's a lot of talk about, see, I always read articles, Manny Pacquiao and Amir Khan fighting Saudi in Dubai would be huge because with a big Pakistani and a big British community and also with a big Filipino community here, it'd be the ideal place, a neutral place. So why not? I mean, we just have to speak to the right people in Dubai to make that happen. But at the moment, with the meetings we've had, nothing's really come close to getting it done.
But it might be in Saudi Arabia. Who knows?
Well, Saudi Arabia, we've done it there once and it was successful. So it can happen there again because we are already in talks for the next one and it could be back in Saudi Arabia.
Do you know who you're fighting next?
No, not yet. No.
Or is it top secret that you can't?
You're jumping the gun now. No. We're looking at a few opponents and hopefully I should announce something within maybe about 4 weeks' time. We still don't have nothing penciled in and confirmed. So, but we are looking at a few opponents, yeah.
And you still need to get back to training again.
Strict training starts as soon as I get back from Saudi Arabia. So when I go from here, Dubai to Saudi, Saudi back to UK, that's when my coach is going to see me in England and he's going to push me and kick my back.
He's like, here. What holiday have you been on?
Yeah, he's going to be like, what the hell? So yeah, he's going to be, he's going to push me. And obviously you get a little bit older, your body does take a little bit more time to get stronger and, you know, to get, it's not like when I was younger. When I was younger, I used to just get fit quick. But yeah. Now it takes a bit of time and I carry a bit of puppy fat sometimes and I'm like, oh, it's just crazy, you know? It's crazy how age can make it a lot harder.
Yeah. And you have a new baby on the way as well.
Yes, so that's right, yeah.
Yeah, so it's an exciting 2020 for you.
You know what it is, yeah? There's a lot going on. See, my life's always something happening in my life and it's always busy. And but everything's going really well. You know, I thank God for putting me in this position where I've got respect and love and I've got my beautiful family and I'm very lucky to be in a position like this, you know. So yeah, I'm just going to go with the flow, see how everything turns out. Like I said, I'm not going to rush into any because I've made mistakes doing things like that, you know. I'm going to take my time and pick what's right for me. So yeah, 2020 is going to be a great year for me. Have the baby on the way as well and let's see how it all goes. Yeah. Hopefully I can have the fight probably after the baby's born because it won't be nice to have the wife worrying with me in the ring while she's pregnant days before giving birth.
I don't think she'll be very happy with that.
Exactly. So yeah, we'll have to change. Good job you reminded me.
Well, thank you so much for joining us in the Esquire Q&A studio.
Thank
and
you.
Thanks for always making time for us.
No, thank you. Lovely being here and we had a great chat today. So I had so much fun. Thank you.
Perfect. As always, don't forget to hit subscribe to this podcast channel and stay tuned for more next week.